is almost worse than him hiring an unqualified guide. He watched her throat work, could see the genuine apology and concern in her expression.
Dale didn't hire me. His wife did, she admitted. And I'm not a guide. I'm a coordinator, a fancy office manager, really. Dale was clear that I would not be allowed to take out clients until I was trained.
Yet here we are, he said.
I know. I went against his wishes, and he'll probably fire me, but he wasn't a part of this. But it was a beginner hike. I thought a little old lady wanted to see the new blooms, and I figured, how hard can it be? Then you showed up all handsome and rugged, flashing those type 1 biceps and changing the route, and, well, I didn't want to mess this up.
She let out a wistful sigh that did something strange to Ty's chest.
As you can see, I am fully responsible for my actions, so please don't fail Dale on another inspection.
Pretty and loyal, an interesting combination. Almost as interesting as her thinking he was there in an official capacity, which meant she had no clue that he was Dale's son. She'd kissed him without knowing he was the sole heir to their crumbling empire. Oh, the irony kept growing. Avery swayed back and forth, her hand visibly shaking. She was ready for the worst, ready for him to throw down the ruling that would ruin the lodge. Why didn't you just tell me that when I asked for the Canyon Ridge package? Maybe she wanted to impress him or spend more time with him, or go in for a second kiss.
The client is always right.
Or that. Seriously, that's your answer? The client is always right? Well, they're not right if they get you killed, and believe me, I have seen the results of weekend warriors who think they're invincible. It's not pretty.
You're too capable to get me killed, she said with a smile.
Even pros can get people killed, something he knew firsthand.
I know, she said gently. So what are you going to do?
Ty had not a clue. He wanted to wring her neck, and then he wanted to wring his dad's. What he didn't want to do was think about how this could have turned out, about what could have happened to Avery if he hadn't been the one to pull this trick. Some other guy would have taken one look at that sweet body and even sweeter smile and said, "Let's jump." And she would have jumped and... Shit. Ty let out a breath, trying to quell the giant knot making a pretzel in his stomach. When that didn't work, he leveled her with a glare to let her know how serious he was, how serious the situation was, and how seriously pissed he was that she'd complicated an already complicated matter. Avery was not qualified to work in the field, a fact his father would agree with, had they not had it out over the condition of the lodge. Ty had been blunt, Dale had been defensive, and both were chased out of the kitchen without dessert. No. Ty was going to have to handle Dora the Explorer all on his own, which created problems of its own. First, he could see how things had snowballed out of control and that she'd only wanted to make the lodge look good. Second, it was clear how much she wanted to be an adventure guide. Third, and most importantly, he knew that she tasted like spring water and salvation. Jesus, his guys would give him so much shit if they heard that Kingfisher, a title he'd earned for his ability to calm the wind and the waves at will, was going menstrual over some chick he'd just met. Yes, he admired her zest for life, and her fascination for pushing the limits was a total turn-on. But he knew all too well what could happen when one pushed too far.
Ty, I know you're really mad, and I know that you want me to know how mad you are.
She scooted closer, and had it not been for all of the layers of sweaters and vests, they would have been touching.
But if intimidation is your goal, you might want to stop that.
She waved a hand at his face. Stop what?
Looking at me like that. It's really misleading.
I'm the one who's being misleading. Well, you sound all angry bear, like you're contemplating tearing my head off, but then you're looking at me all...
There went her hand again. All what? To be sure he got his point across, he furrowed his brow.
All warm and gooey, like you want me to kiss you again, but you're not happy about it.
He wasn't happy about any of this, the way his heart was racing, how one smile lit him up, and he especially wasn't happy that she was right. Something that must have shown on his face because the corner of her lips tilted into a smile that was all sunshine and forgiveness, and damn, Ty wanted to take a taste. You offering, Angel?
No,
she said with genuine distress.
I know I messed up. And my kissing you again would only make things worse. Kissing you now that I know you're the inspector? That would be beyond unprofessional.
Let me get this straight, he said, trying not to smile. Letting her know she was amusing him would only ruin the scowl he'd conjured up. Lying to the inspector isn't unprofessional, but kissing him is? She swayed back and forth as she considered this. When she finally spoke, her eyes locked on his, never wavering.
I'd like to say I didn't lie, but I did, because holding back information is just as bad. I didn't want to let my boss down. I made a promise I shouldn't have, then got caught up in the excitement of proving I was ready.
Even though you weren't.
And I really thought I was doing the right thing for the lodge and my boss, but...
She lifted one delicate shoulder.
If I kissed you, that would be selfishly for me, without regard to how it would affect others, and that would be wrong.
He laughed at her logic. So your lie was for the greater good, but the kiss would be for selfish desires. She nodded. Well, thank God I'm not the inspector. She started to smile. Then that tilt of hers went full watt. So bright he felt it hit him right in the chest.
You're not?
Nope. If he was smart, he'd turn around and head back down the mountain. Being close to Avery when he was this amped was like diving headfirst into trouble, something he'd known the second he caught her on the hood of his truck. And kissing her again, inspector or not, would only further complicate things. But there was something about a woman like Avery and her never-back-down attitude that was impossible to resist. Then this shouldn't be a problem. He didn't give her time to reply, just lowered his head and sank into those lush, full lips that had been keeping him up at night and driving him crazy all morning. Avery Adams might not be skilled at the art of repelling, but the second her arms circled his neck and that soft body of hers pressed into his, Ty found himself in one hell of a free fall. Silly challenge or not, there was enough chemistry between them to spark a forest fire. In fact, Ty couldn't remember the last time a kiss lit him up so fast and hot. She didn't miss a beat, taking it from a truth or dare brush of the lips to a hands gripping his shirt, have to have you kind of display. And for one insane moment, their worlds aligned and their bodies melted together like magnets. And they rode the fall together, giving in to the gentle sweep of sensation.
Wow,
she whispered, her breath skating across his lips.
You kissed me.
I did. And if she wasn't an employee, he'd kiss her again.
Oh my God.
Both hands flew to her mouth to cover the perfect circle of joy.
If you're not the inspector, then we didn't fail the inspection.
No, we didn't, he said, hating the way her eyes lit with relief, because the worst kind of blow was the one that you never saw coming. And Ty hadn't played this round fair. And since I don't plan on failing it, I'm sorry, Angel, but you're fired. Chapter 6. Ty sat at the dining room table, surrounded by pictures and family heirlooms all passed down through the generations, and he found it hard to breathe. He could trace his Donovan roots back to Sequoia Lake since the 1800s. His great-grandfather operated a 12-horse team over the pass,
bringing in much-needed supplies to the area and wagon trains of people to settle the land. His grandfather opened the first hotel as a way to attract summer tourists from San Francisco. And Dale, the most successful of the Donovans, had turned that 9-room inn into one of the largest year-round adventure lodges in the Sierras. Sequoia Lake Lodge had hosted Olympic teams, X-game athletes, and even a few politicians over the years. Through hard work and laser focus, Dale had made it the brightest spot in gold country, and the Donovan family, the Golden family. Ty had the same Donovan fever for adventure, only his tastes tended to fall into the extreme, even for his family. Garrett's dream had been to follow in Dale's footsteps, make a life on the mountain, and one day take over the lodge. But Ty had wanted more. He'd memorized every trail by 16 and knew there were other things he wanted to see, bigger mountains he wanted to climb. He had an urge to explore where others had yet to venture, to expand the company to include other areas, a vision his father hadn't shared. A difference in opinion that made their father-son relationship a difficult one. What Dale saw as his son's legacy, Ty always viewed as a jumping-off point. It wasn't that he didn't admire what his dad had created or appreciate everything Dale had taught him. He just knew there was more he wanted to do. But running a lodge was a family business, and it was expected that the Donovan boys would stick around to do their part. Something Ty tried to embrace, but when Garrett died, he knew any chance he had of sticking around was gone. So he'd left, and now he was back, and it was as if no time had passed.
"You had no right to fire her,"
Dale said, his voice that of a drill sergeant, even though his frame wasn't as imposing as it had once been. "She was a problem waiting to happen," Ty pointed out, wondering if they could skip dinner and go right to the goodnight parting. His mom, sensing his need to run, passed him the potatoes.
"Well, she was my problem to deal with," Dale said.
He'd passed the meatloaf, sweet rolls, and salad, yet he hadn't put a speck of food on his plate.
Yet there we were, staring down Canyon Ridge with a Duraflame log and a slipknot. Had I not stepped in, there might not have been anything to handle.
Ty pushed the bowl his dad's way and smiled. "Potatoes?" Dale ignored this.
"If you hadn't shown up like you did, I might not have been too distracted to notice."
And here they went. No matter what transpired, it always boiled down to one thing. Ty was in the wrong. And maybe he was at times, but in this particular situation, he'd made the right call and they both knew it.
"What happened to calling ahead?"
Dale added.
"Guests do it all the time. The lodge might have been filled and..."
"You don't need to call ahead. Your room is always waiting for you, isn't it, Dale?"
Irene said, placing a roll on Dale's plate. When he didn't answer, she held a heaping spoonful of Brussels sprouts over his plate.
"Isn't it, dear?"
Dale eyed the offending sprouts and then reached for another roll.
"No one wants that small room anyhow, with all your stuff clogging up the closets."
"And no one wants to hear you grumble. Confrontation is bad for digestion," she said. "Now, please pass the potatoes."
Dale did as told, then, as if he couldn't hold it in, mumbled,
"Letting go of staff in the middle of a trek is bad for business. Makes it look like we hire incompetent guides. Was that your goal? Come here and make me look bad?"
"Dale,"
Irene scolded. But Dale wasn't done. He set the plate down and leaned in, flashing that look of frustration Ty had come to associate with this visit.
"What else am I to think? The boy shows up here, sand still in his hair, spouting about how bad everything's gotten while he's been relaxing in the surf."
First, Ty had worked his ass off to become the top in his field, and second, he hadn't even gotten started on how bad things were. Not only had he heard rumors that some of the male guides were exploring a lot more than just the rugged peaks with the female lodgers, the whole reason behind his scheduled hike with Brody, but he'd spent several hours after his morning with Avery combing through the lodge's equipment. He'd need to do a deeper inspection, but what he found made him nervous. He hadn't told his dad he knew about the failed inspection, didn't see a need to. Dale would have taken the news like an attack on the Donovan name. Having his son call him out on it would only hurt his pride, and that wasn't why Ty had come. He swallowed back a bitter taste of frustration and tempered his words. "I didn't come here to step on your toes or upset you, Dad. I happened to be there when a problem arose, and I tried to handle it how I thought you would." Dale blinked, as if in all of the bluster, he hadn't even considered what he would have done.
"Well, you're not me, and you haven't been around long enough to know what decision I'd make."
"Fair enough," Ty said, even though he knew Dale would have fired Avery on the spot. "Next time, I'll let you handle the situation."
"There you go, thinking there will be a next time," Dale said. "Like I can't handle my business."
Ty put up his palms on surrender.
"Look, there's a lot to be handled between now and Sarek's, and you're short-staffed. I figured you could use some help, so I took some vacation time and came up to offer my help where it's needed."
"Who says I'm short-handed?"
Dale asked, sounding so confident that he had everything handled, a ridiculous stance since they were down two senior members. Then he remembered Avery with her knitted cap and determined eyes and shook his head. "I thought Mark took a job in Donner and Brody was injured." When Dale looked at him as if he were the ridiculous one, Ty looked at his mom to make sure he hadn't misunderstood the situation.
"That's right."
Irene patted Dale's hand and lowered her voice to the same soothing level she used when one of her boys skinned a shin or scraped an arm.
"Remember, Brody turned his ankle Sunday, then the doctor told him to take it easy for the next few weeks."
Dale looked at Ty, and for a moment his dad looked tired and confused, almost lost. Then in the blink of an eye, he gave that same dismissive shrug that used to shatter Ty's world. Now it just pissed him off.
"Since this is your vacation, don't feel you have to waste it on heavy lifting," Dale said, and dug into his dinner, grumbling something about the time for being needed had long passed.
"Well, I'm here now," Ty said. Dale let that sink in.
"And you're going to stay until it's done, or until you're bored with mountain life? Because if so, I need to schedule that in."
Jesus, there was no pleasing his dad.
"I could leave now if that's what you want."
Dale remained silent, stoic, and stubborn, and Ty had his answer. He stood and tossed his napkin on the table. "Thanks for dinner, Mom." Ty had barely made it to the coat rack when he heard the door to Dale's home office slam shut. Ty rested his forehead against the window and took a breath. When had things between him and his dad become so bad? Growing up, seeing the other's point of view had never been easy. It was what happened when two people were so much alike. But after Garrett died, things went from hard to impossible, and Ty knew that there was nothing he could do to make it better, short of trading places with his brother. A swap he'd do in a heartbeat if possible. Ty looked out the window, staring out at the twinkling lights that ran the length of the mountain until they looked like stars lighting the inky night sky and reflecting off the glass lake below. Sequoia Lake Lodge sat in the middle of 50 acres of family-owned pines and trails, and it was surrounded by another 200 acres of the most incredible national forest in the Sierra Nevada. Ty had been a lot of places, seen a lot of things over the past decade, but no matter how breathtaking or challenging, no place got to him like Sequoia Lake. There was something so humbling about how small the moon looked above the steep mountains and unforgiving peaks. Maybe that was the draw. That he had conquered, and still could, something so unforgiving. Only what was the point? He'd never found any form of forgiveness here. A comforting hand settled on his back.
He just misses you.
Yeah, I got that when he asked what day I was leaving so he could start the countdown.
He doesn't handle loss well,
his mom said with quiet apology.
Like most Donovan men, he'd rather be the one pushing than risk having something he cares for pulled away.
Well, he doesn't have to push. I got the point.
You're both so convinced of the other. Neither of you are really taking the time to see what's happened. I've tried to bring you two together so you can see what I see in each of you,
she said, her voice heartbreakingly sad.
But you Donovan men are too stubborn for your own good.
Ty gave the lake one last look, then faced his mom. I'll try talking to him. Irene touched his cheek.
When you do, be sure you're ready to listen.
Ty wanted to say he was an expert listener, that it was just when it came to being told what a failure he was that he tuned out. But seeing his mom so upset made his gut ache, so he covered her hands with his. Sorry about dinner.
It will make wonderful sandwiches for the weekend.
Ty grabbed his coat off the rack, ready to tell her that he wasn't going to be here come the weekend, but the sad look in his mom's eyes had him taking a deep breath and placing it back. For every time his father had made him feel misunderstood and like a disappointment, his mom had taken him into her arms and hugged away the hurt. Irene Donovan was all heart and gentle compassion, and Ty had promised himself years ago he'd never be the cause of her tears again. You got any coffee in the pot? She gave him a watery smile, then wrapped her arms around his waist and leaned in. She smelled like sugar cookies, lavender soap, and coming home. Even though Ty knew home wasn't a reality for him anymore, he allowed himself to pretend for a moment and did some leaning of his own into the past and into his mother's gentle strength, resting his cheek on her head and breathing until his heart slowed and his soul was at rest.
I've got a pie cooling in the kitchen, Irene said.
Ty lifted his head and looked down into his mom's face. Pie?
Well, she said, patting his cheek. With a smile like that, I should have started the dinner with pie. It might have ended better.
It might have ended with world peace. His mom's pies were that good.
Not good, legendary.
They were the only thing Ty had dreamed of more than a hot shower when he and his team had been tracking a lost family for 6 days down the Colorado River in November. When Ty had been 12, he'd ripped his knee open racing Garrett down a ski slope on bikes in the summer. He'd hobbled home knowing he'd need stitches, only his mom had just taken one of her lolliberry pies out of the oven, so he'd covered his gash with Garrett's hoodie and sat at the table. When his mom discovered the cut, he'd received 16 stitches, 3 weeks grounding, and a pretty severe tongue lashing, all easier to take with a belly full of pie.
I think there's even ice cream in the freezer, she added, heading toward the kitchen. And even though firing that sweet girl wasn't your finest moment, I don't see why you can't have two scoops.
Ty followed her, grabbing a stack of dishes and bowls from the table. She was about to take me over Canyon Ridge. Firing her was me going easy.
She had you there with her, so all would have been well,
Irene said with so much confidence and affection in her eyes, it made Ty squirm a little as he crossed to the sink.
It would have been a perfect first descent for her. Poor girl, she's been waiting for her shot.
poor girl his ass, although he had felt like a jerk when, after they'd made the hike back, she'd apologized again, then thanked him for the hike as if he hadn't just kissed her and then fired her. She wasn't qualified, and I was the client. Irene took the bowls out of his hands.
No, honey, you're one of the best climbers on the mountain, and you didn't pay, so that makes you a plus one.
Ty snorted because that was exactly how he imagined Avery justifying the morning to herself. She didn't know that. He opened the dishwasher and stacked the dishes, grabbing a couple of clean bowls from the cabinet when he was done.
She probably took one look at those strong, capable arms and decided there was no one else she'd want to fall with.
Irene set the pie on the counter.
And she is such a sweet girl. I hope you put your best foot forward.
It wasn't a date, Mom.
No, of course it wasn't.
She grinned up at him, the gleam in her eyes one of mischief.
Funny that your mind went there, though.
So funny it gave him heartburn. What's going on with the lodge?
You know?
Irene's easy smile faded and she pulled out a stool, resting against it as if she needed the added support.
Of course you know. And your work friends told you more than they told us. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
You make it sound like I don't visit, he teased, but a small knot of guilt lit his stomach. I was up here for your birthday, which was what? 8 months ago. Man, how did a good son go 8 months without seeing his mom when he was a half day's drive away? A good son didn't, period.
I know you visit, honey, just like I know coming home is hard for you.
She took his hands in hers, and Ty wondered when her hands had become so frail. It's not hard, he said, and she clucked. Okay, it isn't Hawaii, but if you and Dad need me for anything, all you have to do is ask and I'll be here.
And if you were the one needing help, would you come here?
Ty's face must have projected the wrong answer because Irene's voice turned sad.
I didn't think so, which tells me that if you're here, then it must be bad.
At this point, sugarcoating it wasn't going to do anyone any good. His mom needed to know what they were facing, and Ty needed one of his parents thinking straight when it came to updating the equipment and the direction of the lodge. And maybe it would give him a chance to make amends for breaking his mom's heart. It's bad. In fact, we need to hire some help if we want to make the next inspection.
I knew there were problems,
she said, her voice so strained, Ty's rescue instinct went into hyper mode.
I've been so focused on your dad, driving him to all his appointments, making sure he was okay, that I haven't been keeping as close an eye on things.
Why are you driving Dad around? Dale didn't ride shotgun. He steered the vehicle. Always. Irene's shoulders caved.
He ran to the grocery store a few months ago, and when he wasn't home by dinner, I got worried. Sheriff Watson showed up around 9 and said he found Dale on the side of the road looking at a map.
She let out a small sniff.
I guess they were doing some kind of construction on the highway, and he'd taken the detour and got turned around and couldn't find his way back.
The grocery store is less than a mile from here. How did he get lost?
I don't know,
she said, sounding exhausted.
Sheriff Watson said Dale seemed agitated and confused when he pulled up. So even when your dad insisted it was just his night vision, Watson insisted on following him home.
I bet that went over well, Ty deadpanned.
Oh, your dad was so embarrassed.
Irene said, full of concern.
Blamed it on the Public Works Department. Said they needed to post more helpful signage and increase street lamps on that road.
What did the sheriff say?
That he didn't want to see Dale driving at night until we saw a doctor.
Irene shrugged.
We saw the eye doctor that next week, and his vision is fine. I tried to have him get a second opinion, but you know your dad.
Stubborn as the day is long. Ty leaned back and let out a long breath, hoping to relieve some of the building pressure. It didn't help. In fact, he wasn't sure at this point how he could be of help. Getting the lodge back in order sounded like it was just the start of the problem. Why didn't you call me? Irene's face softened to the point where Ty felt a familiar ache deep in his chest.
Would it have made a difference? Would you have come any earlier?
If I'd known that there was a problem, he said, then wondered if that was the truth. Outside of a death in the family or natural disaster, there wasn't much that would get him home around the holidays. Coming home was painful enough. Around the holidays, the guilt was suffocating, tightening around his throat as a reminder that his family would never be complete, no matter how hard he wished it different. I could have reasoned with him, Ty said, made him go to the doctor again.
Which is why I didn't bother you. You two don't need another reason to argue. Plus, I think it's stress. Your dad is under a lot of pressure right now, and the stress is really getting to him.
Irene said, looking down at her folded hands.
He hasn't been sleeping much and has a hard time staying alert during the day, and sometimes his mind goes a little fuzzy.
Mom, he said quietly, this lodge is too big for the two of you to handle. You need to hire someone to help manage it. A suggestion he'd brought up before but was always met with hostility. Ty knew firsthand how debilitating prolonged stress and sleep deprivation could be on a person. It affected a person's mood, energy levels, and cognitive abilities. Add fear over the lodge's well-being, and it was no wonder his dad was acting so strange. Bottom line, Dale was getting older. It was natural that he'd need some help with the heavy lifting that came with running a lodge this size.
I think it's time to look into that, she said, sounding overwhelmed at the idea. But you know how your dad can get about new people. I'm trying to respect Dale's wishes and do what's right for the lodge, and all I seem to be doing is letting everyone down.
Ty softened his voice. You didn't let anyone down. In fact, he had a sinking suspicion she was the only one holding things together. Irene had been the glue struggling to hold the family together after Garrett, and she was still struggling to please them all. Sadly, all of the love in the world couldn't heal this family, but Irene was nothing if not persistent. A few broken skis and snowmobiles would be one thing, but whatever was happening went much further than losing Mark and Brody. And Ty was going to get to the bottom of it. He couldn't bring back Garrett, but he could save the lodge and lighten his dad's load in the process. All he needed was to get the most stubborn, independent man in the world to agree to accept the help.
I'll fix this, Mom. I promise.
And Ty had vowed to never again make a promise he couldn't keep. By Wednesday, Ty had a good grasp on the logistics of hosting Sarex, and he had covered 3 group hikes and a solo climb. With the morning clear, he went down to the boathouse early to meet Harris, hoping to get a jump on cataloging the water equipment. Knowing what he was facing would be important in making a plan of action. Feeling suffocated by the enormity of it all, he watched the sun peek over the red tin-roofed structure that hung over the end of the dock, and he tried to focus on the way the water rhythmically lapped at the pylons. It didn't help. Ty and Harris were only an hour into checking out the boats, and Ty was ready to call it.
Between the lodges, skiffs, zodiacs, and hoppers, there were 33 powered boats to check. Ty had checked 20 so far. 7 were dented, 5 needed new batteries, and 2 were begging to be scrapped. All problems that could have been avoided if the equipment manager had done his job and stowed the gear right. And don't even get him started on the schedule. His dad was still using his trusty post-it system, meaning one had to trust that Dale remembered to post everyone's schedule. It was a miracle more bookings didn't get lost.
How does it sound? Ty asked, as Harris pulled their Coast Guard Delta, a 40-foot sportsman fishing cruiser, into the boathouse, the boat letting loose an audible sputter as it got closer. The cold bite of the morning air frosted his breath and sent small clouds billowing into the sky. Harris cut the engine.
Like it sat idle all winter. I'll have to check the fluids and lines to see what the problem is, but it doesn't look good.
Not a good diagnosis coming from the gearhead of the family. There wasn't an engine Harris couldn't fix, period. The guy had rebuilt his first helicopter by the age of 15. Who lets a $60,000 boat sit all winter?
You know who, man. The only reason I got this close to it is because your dad is still sleeping. If he caught me on his boat, he'd rip me a new one, Harris said. After Mark quit, I set Dale up with a few local guys who do good work. He took one interview and then said he didn't need some millennial telling him how to run his fleet.
Him and his vast knowledge of all things Sequoia Lake aren't doing much better, Ty said. Isn't there anyone he likes in the area?
The only qualified mechanic in town who your dad hasn't pissed off is Nelson.
Ty grimaced. Nelson had a habit of turning a simple oil change into a complete engine rebuild. He was cranky, slow as slush, and predated the glaciers.
I'll call around to see if any mechanics from Reno or Truckee are looking to relocate.
Ty took a small notebook from his back pocket and scribbled, "Find mechanic" at the bottom of his ever-growing list. Can you see if you can isolate the problem so we know what we're looking at parts-wise?
Harris let out a low whistle. I'll see what I can do, but parts for this bad boy are special order.
We can rush them if needed. That's our biggest cruiser, Ty pointed out. Sequoia Elite specifically requested to use it for the water operations training. It was the main reason the lodge had invested in the boat to begin with. Having the largest rental boat on Sequoia Lake brought in groups of fishermen in the spring, large families in the summer, and all kinds of first responders during training season.
What about one of the C-27 Zodiacs? Harris asked, pointing a thumb over his shoulder to the civilian version of the boat that the Navy SEALs were famous for using.
Ty shook his head.
They hold half the bodies. There's no way the water recovery team could all fit in there. They'd have to divide their class down the middle and hold 2 courses.
Harris stepped off the boat and onto the dock, wiping his hands on one of the garage rags.
It's an option.
It was an option, just not an ideal one. A huge part of training was working hands-on with your team. Tackling new scenarios and pushing past one's limits was only part of it. The time spent together built a cadence that was essential for creating trust. In the field, Ty didn't have time to second guess. He needed to make a call and know, without hesitation, that his team could execute. And when shit got real, there wasn't the time to make a call. Every member had to go off instinct that was built during these kinds of intense trainings.
I'll help as much as I can, but I'm pulling a 60 next week.
Harris tossed his life vest on the hook.
So you might want to consider having a backup plan.
Like packing up his bag and heading back to Monterey? Rescuing a terrified sumo wrestler during riptide sounded easier than passing inspection. I am the backup plan. Harris picked up his tools and fell in beside Ty as they headed up the stone pathway toward the back of the lodge. Neither of them said a word. Ty, deep in thought, desperately searching for a plan B. Harris knew his cousin enough to give him the silence he needed to think. By the time they reached the office, Ty had worked through every possible solution.
"We just need to get through this inspection," was as far as he got.
"And after the inspection?" Harris asked, opening the back door.
"We get through Sarex."
"A solid plan."
"Then what?"
Harris asked as they made their way past the kitchen and into the corridor of offices that housed the people who kept the lodge running.
"You leave, go back to paradise and your life far, far away, and next year you'll have the same problems."
"I know." Ty ran a hand over his face, his eyes as scratchy as his chin. It was the problem that had kept him up all night. And, okay, thinking about firing Avery hadn't helped. Ty was a fixer by nature, and his first instinct was to charge into trouble and rescue those in need. Yet he'd been back home for less than a week, and already he was back to ruining lives, and he had just started cleaning house.
"We need more manpower," he said, looking at the wall of employee photos lining the hallway.
Dale had a way of getting some of the country's best to pass up offers to work at Aspen or Breckenridge, and instead come to a tiny western town in the middle of the mountains. It was people like that who made Sequoia Lake Lodge so successful over the years. It was a level of expertise Ty needed to find if his dad's business stood a chance.
"At the rate you and Dale are going, you'll fire or scare off everyone but Leslie in billing, and only because she came with the lodge."
Harris stopped.
"Did you really fire Avery after that kiss?"
"She told you I kissed her?"
"I was talking about the kiss at the bar."
"I guess you're talking about something else."
"Yeah, it was something else, all right."
Harris shook his head.
"What did you do for fun after? Kick a puppy?"
Ty ignored this and thought back to his dad the other night. How upset his mom had been when she'd confided in Ty about the effect the stress was having on Dale.
"This place needs qualified manpower, a team that will keep things going after I'm gone. Maybe even a general manager to oversee things, make sure nothing falls through the cracks. The lodge is understaffed, and my dad isn't running as tight of a ship, it seems."
"How are you going to do that?"
"Start making some calls," Ty said, opening the office door and stopping short.
There were files strewn all over his dad's desk, a week's worth of mail stacked up, and the phone was going ballistic. In fact, the only calm place in the middle of that storm was the receptionist's desk, which was occupied by Avery, and meticulously organized. She was in control of her surroundings, her fingers clicking the keyboard, the phone to her ear, and she was entering something on a fancy spreadsheet as if she hadn't been fired. She even wore a pair of khakis, a company blue tee that matched her eyes and hugged her to perfection, and a black ball cap that said, "No fear." She looked up and smiled.
"You might want to answer the calls coming in first. I'd help, but I'm on hold."
She pointed to the phone next to her ear, and Harris laughed. Ty jabbed him in the gut and said, "Get the phone." Harris crossed his arms. "Please."
"Fine, but you'll have to play Ice Princess with Emma on game night."
He had no idea what Ice Princess was, but it couldn't be so involved that he couldn't watch the game, so he said, "Fine." With a shit-eating grin, Harris picked up the phone.
"Sequoia Lake Lodge, this is Ty Donovan, town's biggest ice princess. How can I assist you?"
Ty rolled his eyes, then approached the reception desk.
"I thought I fired you."
"You did, but that was when I was acting as an adventure guide," Avery said, flipping through a file on her desk. "A position which, I agree, I need more training for, which is why I am back to being Sequoia Lake Lodge's adventure coordinator and customer service representative."
He wanted to smile, so much his cheeks hurt, but it would have ruined his bad mood.
"My mistake, I must have been unclear."
But when an employee poses as a guide, putting a guest in danger, they lose all of their jobs, the fake ones and the real one. Locating whatever she was searching for, she made some swirly notes on a post-it.
You weren't all that honest either. Or professional,
she whispered, and Ty felt his neck heat.
But I'm willing to overlook it and start over. Good morning, I'm Avery Adams. Nice to meet you.
Standing, she smacked his chest, sticking the post-it note to his shirt. He shot her a look, which made her smile bigger, then glanced at the note. Is this you slipping me your number?
No, that's Brian's number. And although I think you two would have a lot in common, dominating mountains and building fire from toothpicks and saran wrap, he's married. He's also a mechanic from Incline who's looking to move his family here to Sequoia Lake so he can afford a house. He booked your dad for a snowshoeing trip around the holidays and made Dale laugh. I'd say he's your best bet.
She lowered her voice.
And I wouldn't give my number to a coworker.
Good thing I fired you, he said just as quietly, then peeled the note off. How did you know I need a mechanic?
Because I'm good at my job.
He laughed, a fact that I could easily argue.
Ah, but we're starting over, remember?
He didn't remember anything but the sweet scent of vanilla, and Crazy Cutie was messing with his ability to think.
And while, admittedly, there is room to grow as a guide, I rock at coordinating and managing. You can ask my old bosses. They'll say I'm organized, efficient, motivated, and a fast learner. All I need is someone to see that I have
no, he said, backing away from the desk because he had a sick feeling that her smile could charm him into just about anything. And he couldn't hire her back, no matter how good a kisser she was. Not when he knew the first chance she got to spread her wings, she'd go base jumping off Sierra Point.
But you need a beginner's guide. And what I lack in experience, I make up for in
no, he repeated, then said it softer because he could already see her heart swimming in her eyes. I'm sorry, Angel, but rules are rules. With a giddy clap, as if she'd just been promoted to zipline instructor, she bent down and rifled through her bottom drawer. When she came up, she was holding a leather-bound book that was the size of a phone book and had a picture of Sequoia Lake Lodge on the cover.
Show me.
What? She pushed the book, the same book his dad had used to keep Ty in order, his way, then clasped her hands.
Show me where that rule is, because I've been working for Dale for a few months now, and he says everything I need to know is in this book. Which is why I've read it forward and backward, and I don't remember that rule. Anywhere.
She smiled up at him.
So show me, please.
He pushed the book back. Being educated and being experienced are two different skills, and I don't think that this... She held up a finger, silencing him.
No.
I'm sorry.
No problem at all, Mr. Lismore.
It took him a moment to realize she was talking to whoever was on the other end of the phone.
Like I was saying, I can fit you in tomorrow at 3. Oh, a picnic? How romantic. Let me see if we have anything closer to lunch.
She pushed hold, swiped the mouse, and up popped a beautifully coded spreadsheet, complete with client names, contact info, and trail preferences, each one assigned to a guide.
Art Lismore is staying in the Alpine Suite and wants to change his morning fishing trip tomorrow to Sunday. Then, book a nature hike around the lake at 11 so he can surprise his lady friend with a champagne picnic. Can you take him?
She blinked up at him.
Ty?
Oh, are you talking to me again? She nodded.
Yes. Can you take him? Brody is still out. Marshall is taking the Rotary Club on a day-long fishing trip, and everyone else is booked.
Her eyes went all dreamy.
I think Art is going to ask Helga from 305 out on a date. They met last week in the lobby when he was checking out. Then he heard she and her sisters were staying through the week, and...
She wiggled her fingers like little celebratory sparklers.
Here he is, looking to impress.
Ty didn't have time
to ask how Avery knew all of that information. It was probably in one of her spreadsheets. He barely had time to cover Brody's schedule. Taking on another booking would be crazy, especially one involving a couple of seniors who wanted to get frisky on the shoreline. But he couldn't disappoint a lodge guest. Part of the draw of staying at the lodge was guaranteed preference on booking adventures.
How long we talking? Because I have at least 5 hours left in the equipment room. That didn't even touch how long it would take to finish up at the boathouse and find a new mechanic. I need to get an accurate count of the climbing equipment, make sure we have everything we need for Sarex, and if we come in short, I need time to order extra supplies and equipment.
Between the picnic basket, Helga's walking cane, and a little romantic time, she waggled a brow. It might take a little longer, but it should be a beautiful walk.
Give it to my dad. This kind of hike is right up his alley. It was an easy hike, and it would get Dale out of the office and into nature, where he could decompress by impressing the clients with his vast knowledge of the local vegetation and history. It was a perfect solution.
Dale isn't doing hikes much anymore, and I have to make sure it's okay with your mom first.
Good luck with that.
Ty laughed. Dale never asked permission from anyone, not even Mother Nature. Hell freezing over wouldn't stop his dad once he had his mind set to a task.
Getting him out in the fresh air might loosen him up a little.
Avery didn't seem to agree. I'll still check with your mom. There was a beat of silence that grew and expanded until Ty felt that knot in his gut tighten. Her gaze was unwavering, so intense it could penetrate a Kevlar vest. But if he can't, I can take it, she said as an afterthought, and he got her little plan.
And have them end up rappelling down River Rock? No.
She hadn't even been hired back officially, and already she was pushing for more responsibility.
Responsibility that would free up time he desperately needed, until someone got hurt. God, this was a mess.
I've got you down, Mr. Lismore, he heard her say, and he reached out for her to hand him the phone.
No, you don't have him down.
She put one of those elegant, pink-tipped fingers to her delicious lips, then shushed him. Harris chuckled, fully amused, so Ty shared his own special finger with his cousin. Avery ignored all of this. I'll make sure that the kitchen prepares you the perfect romantic picnic, and I booked you on Poppy Alley. It's half the distance, but the view is incredible. She paused, listened intently, then gave an understanding tut. I hear you, but a lady likes to look good when being romanced, and walking around the lake requires hiking boots. And no one wants to be romanced in hiking boots when they can wear some pretty flats. Her eyes sparkled first, bright and alive, and then her warm laugh filled the air. Genuine and real and sexy as hell. Yes, Helga does love her designer shoes. Plenty of aphrodisiacs, got it. She hung up. It is Helga, the widow from Reno who comes here every March with her sisters. He came back for her. Isn't that sweet? I had to say yes.
You had to say yes?
When destiny works her magic, you always say yes, she said, not a note of apology in her voice.
Great, and will destiny be sending some of that magic my way when I run out of time before the next inspection?
She looked unconcerned. You don't need magic. You have me.
Sweet Jesus. The woman was more than driven. She was a bully. A cute, adorable bully who was so enthusiastic it made saying no to her difficult. No wonder Dale had hired her.
She probably cornered him with one of those smiles of hers, then flashed that dimple at the right moment. Good thing he wasn't into crazy cuties with dimples. Or he hadn't been up until that kiss. Ty pulled out the chair and sat, resting his head in his hands. No matter how many different ways he looked at it, this was too big for any one person to fix, even a master fixer. Being down two key people
meant equipment wasn't being properly cared for, the guides were double-booked, the schedule was shit, and he had an entire event to plan.
Avery, look. Before you tell me to cancel on Mr. Lismore, let me remind you that Poppy Alley is a 20-minute one-way hike. You can probably make it back to the lodge in half that time. You only lose 30 minutes out of your schedule, and a VIP customer gets a day to play hero to a pretty lady.
Which meant he'd likely come back year after year. Smart woman had taken an impossible situation and turned it into a winning solution. What surprised him more was that her solution wasn't her looking out for her job, like he'd originally thought. She was looking out for the customer. He wasn't about to tell her she was fired. That would be silly, since she'd never been rehired. He was going to say that she was inspired. But that might lead to what other talents he thought were inspired, and that would lead to the main reason why this could never work. "And that's it?" he asked, to be sure. "You aren't going to use it to get me to hire you back?"
"I really want this job, Ty. I love the clients and working outdoors, and I love learning about the mountains I've lived on my entire life but never had the opportunity to explore."
She lifted a delicate shoulder.
"Right now, though, I truly just want to make sure Mr. Lismore gets his chance to explore them with his lady friend."
Ty wasn't sure if he should believe her, but he couldn't detect an ounce in insincerity. She really wanted this old man to have his day in the sun.
"If I take the booking, will you promise not to dispute my decision?"
"I promise not to dispute it today, but tomorrow..."
"Avery," he moaned.
"You need me and you know it. I might not be what you picture when you think adventurer."
She stood and spread her arms to encompass her tiny frame.
"But I have spent the past 5 years managing people's retirement accounts and expectations. I can balance what people want with what they need and give them options within their limitations that still excite them. Combine that with my knowledge of spreadsheets, event coordinating, and people skills, and I am uniquely perfect for this job."
Ty took in her khakis, which had pleats, he noticed, and the efficient way she pulled her blonde curls to the back hole of the ball cap, as if she took a great deal of time to look like she'd just thrown on the hat. Then he looked at her soft expression, the confident way she approached her insecurities, and those big, hope-filled eyes, and he agreed. She was uniquely perfect. For him.
Which made hiring her a bad idea.
Ty took off his beanie and ran a hand through his hair.
"I've got Gary Sykes on the phone," Harris said casually, his finger pointing at the phone as he mouthed, "Gary Sykes," like the divine himself was on the other end.
And maybe he was. Gary Sykes was a smoke jumper for the Ranger Department. Ty and Harris had both worked with him on a few task forces. The kid had skills. He busted his ass all summer fighting forest fires, then spent his winters rotating between teaching surfing in Mexico and skiing in Tahoe. He was the exact kind of guy the lodge could use.
"He's between gigs right now and coming through town Sunday with some buddies. Said he wants to take them to the north face of Cedar Rim. I can chopper you guys in if you want."
Harris covered the mouthpiece with his hand and whispered,
"He's looking for seasonal work. With Brody gone, there isn't anyone qualified to take them out,"
Avery said. "Says the girl who had me staring down Canyon Ridge." Ty turned to Harris. "What time?" Harris repeated the question, then said,
"He says 0700 works.
Ty opened his phone calendar, scrolled to Sunday, and groaned. "I blocked off the morning to scout out trails and possible staging areas for Sarex. I don't even know where each class will be held, and I have a call with Lance from CalSAR Monday to check in. Can you push it until 11?
Ty, Avery said, critically eyeing her monitor, At 11, you're taking Mr. Lismore out on the lake bass fishing, remember? The hike tomorrow moved fishing to Sunday.
He reached out to turn her monitor so he could see it better, and she smacked his hand.
No one touches my computer or my spreadsheets. Otherwise, it would end up looking like that.
She pointed to the giant paper calendar on the wall that had an array of colored post-its stuck all over it.
Noted, he said, a consistent throbbing growing behind his frontal lobe. Now, can you help a guy out?
She opened her mouth to say yes, then snapped her mouth shut and folded her hands on the desktop.
Which guy needs help? The one who kissed me or my coworker? Because if it's my coworker, I can move some things around, but...
If she was still fired, he was out of luck.
Got it.
Ty rubbed his forehead and glanced at Harris, who was mouthing,
Gary fucking Sykes, man.
Then to Avery Adams, adventure coordinator, while she fiddled with her mouse. But Avery Adams, aspiring adventure guide, was taking her sweet-ass time and batting her lashes his way.
Fix this mess and you can go back to being Avery Adams' adventure coordinator.
He stuck out his hand, but she just stared at it, as if weighing her options. Ty gave her a charming smile, but she didn't appear charmed. Stubbornness did that to a person, made them uncharmable, and often uncharming. However, Avery managed to pull off both in a way that was beyond impressive.
No, she said firmly. I'll take care of all the paperwork for Sarex, help you scout trails, run this office like it's the West Wing, and run interference with Dale. In return, I want to be trained to be a guide. Nothing huge.
He could almost see her mouth the word yet.
Enough so I'm qualified to take over some of the senior trips and beginner classes.
Deal, Harris said. Ty set him a look. What? You need the help. She needs a trainer, and she's too pretty for Dale to snap at.
Excellent point.
And you have 6 senior trips booked for next week alone, she said. If Brody isn't back, and you have to take over his schedule, there's no way you can handle it all. Plus, it's the last Wednesday of March.
Avery held up a flyer advertising senior spring training signups, a series of discounted classes and trips the lodge offered to the over 55 residents, and it started today.
As if on cue, the phone lit up. Ty groaned.
Avery put her hand on the receiver, finger on the blinking red button, ready to answer.
It's probably Ms. Lebowski,